Tony Monday is going to come and he's going to read the scriptural reading for us. 1 Corinthians 15.
Good morning. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Thank you.
Amen. Again, happy Palm Sunday to everyone. This is definitely unique for me, preaching on another Sunday than Fifth Sunday. Most of the times you usually will hear from one of the other ministers on this day, but this month happened to have the holiday be during Fifth Sunday. But every time a Fifth Sunday comes, the Lord always lays on my heart a few months ahead what to be able to share with you all before that time comes. And I was thinking as we came to Palm Sunday, Lord, do you want me to share something else? And the answer was no. So I come to you standing, sharing a sermon with you that most of you be like, wow, this really should be next week. but no, it's going to be today. I'm not for sure if you're like me. I love movies, especially good movies. And sometimes some of the movies that we do watch, usually you'll watch it, like say, for instance, Star Wars. Star Wars, I remember watching that, and somebody came and shared with me that that's episode 4. You didn't see the beginning. And then they say, you know, I saw episode 5. I thought it was part 2. And then they say, you know, I saw episode 6, and that wasn't the end. They said, no, you got to go back to episode 1. And as we looked at that movie, a lot of us are like, that's the prequel to what would happen down the road to Star Wars, and there's many other movies maybe that you've watched over the years, and you would think you've watched it, but then the director or the creator of that film will take you back and take you to a prequel to prepare you for what's coming, to what would happen with the original movie that they created. Well, I just wanted to share with you that this is the prequel to what we're getting ready for next Sunday. And so before we get going, I just want to, again, thank the Lord for each and every one of you. I would be remiss if I didn't take the time to thank the Lord for Pastor Ray and Sister Linda Smith. I thank the Lord for both of them, just their love for the Lord, their love for their family, and their love for you. I'm very grateful to the Lord for it. I would not be remiss if I did not take the time to thank the Lord for Pastor and Sister McNeil. And I will talk more about that as we get into the sermon today. And I wouldn't be remiss if I didn't talk about my wife, my boo thing, my main squeeze. My love, my candy rain. Yes, Yes, that's who I'm thankful for. Those of you in the room that's married, you better be thankful for yours too. Amen. Come on now. We playing around up in here. See some of y'all. but yeah, I'm very grateful. And I'm grateful for you, church. I'm grateful for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement, especially for this generation that we have. I'm thankful for you taking the time to encourage them. And if you haven't, take the time. Find out what's going on in their lives. You know, shoot them a text. Find out what extracurricular activities they're a part of. I'm telling you, it will make a difference because many of you did the same thing for me as I grew up in this church. I've been in this church since I was 3 years old, and now I'm 44, going on 45. And a lot of that would not have occurred if it had not been for seeing the lives of many of you, which, again, I'll talk about as we go into the sermon. Well, let's take some time to go into the Word of God today, because you didn't come to hear me. You came to hear from the Lord. And so we're going to look at a familiar passage today. So go ahead and take your Bibles and stand. And I'm just going to read one passage from 1 Corinthians. Tony had read it. We're going to read the one passage, 1 Corinthians 15. And those of you that have been a part of this church for 30 plus years, if you don't know where 1 Corinthians is, God bless you. God bless you. You need to be in Sunday school ASAP. You need to, matter of fact, children's church. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to look at verse number 3 and 4. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Blame Pastor Ray. Blame Pastor Ray. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And I want to, and then you can follow along with the translation that you have. And if you got to say yes, sir. All right. All right. Yeah. 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 Let's read it together. I pass on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. This is what was passed on. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. What we want to talk about in your hearing this morning is this, is why the resurrection. Why the resurrection? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be in your presence again, to spend time in your word. Lord Jesus, we're grateful today. Thank you for our teenagers. Thank you for just what you're going to do and continuing to do in their lives. And thank you for allowing us as their parents, us as their grandparents, their aunts and uncles, their just brothers and sisters in the Lord, to be able to encourage them to plant and water seeds so that, God, you can get the harvest, that you can get the increase in their life. Lord, have your will and way in their lives. Lord, as John the Baptist declares, I do the same right now. Lord, I decrease, you increase. I become less and less. You become more and more. You become greater and greater. Because what the people are receiving today is your word, not mine. It's your truth, not mine. And Lord, I want them to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Lead us and guide us into all truth as we look into your word this morning. We want you to have your way, oh God. Make our ears attentive as we hear from you. And not only help us to hear, but help us to be doers. So have your way right now as we look at a familiar passage to many people in the room. But as Dr. McNeil would always say, your word is inexhaustible. We know that there's something else that they can learn from what your word has in store for them today. In Jesus' name. And everybody sit. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. You may be seated in the house of God. Why? Why the resurrection? Why the resurrection? Well, again, I want to blame a couple of people before I have my seat. First of all, I want to blame Pastor Ray, because Pastor Ray always say, well, I'm going to give you 3 points and then I'm going to sit down. But I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to give you 3 points and I'm going to sit down. Now, there might be some extra points inside the point, but I'm going to give you 3 points and I'm going to sit on down. And then the other person I want to blame is Pastor Emeritus Dr. John McNeil, because this passage that we're looking at, I know I had to go at least about 4, 5, 6 times with you. So if it's anything that I can say, it was 3 things that I learned. If it's anything that I can tell you guys in this room and girls in this room that I learned from Dr. McNeil, it's 3 things. The death of Christ, the burial of Christ, resurrection of Christ. I got it from this passage because he preached it. So it's his fault. It's his fault. But we want to look at this passage. And many of you, you were influenced and encouraged the same way. But we're going to look at this passage because we want to encourage our teenagers today, our kids today, to remind them, why do we emphasize and talk about the resurrection as we get to Easter? Why do we talk about this? Why do we do this? Well, again, I'm going to give you 3 points and then I'm going to have my seat. So, again, if you have your Bible with you, let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to go back and read it again. I'm going to look at it from the New Living Translation so you follow along with your translation. And it says this, let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. Now, to understand this, many of you know Corinth had some issues. They had some things going on at that church that was crazy. One in particular was there was a son that had been doing some things with his stepmama, and I know it sounds nasty, don't it? But the church wasn't doing anything about it. And Paul had to write a letter to him. Matter of fact, he wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians to talk to them about that. Not only that, but other issues inside of the church as well. You know, when we talk about the love chapter, 13, talking about the spiritual gifts in 12. Many things talked about the communion in chapter 11. But now Paul comes here to remind them of the good news that he had preached to them before. And this is what Atlanta Bible Baptist Church does. We want to make sure that you understand the gospel. And just as the church of Corinth, Paul said it this way. He said, you welcomed this gospel then, and you still stand firm in it now. Same thing. That's our hope and prayer for each and every member here at this church, that you will stand firm in the gospel, that you will take the time to continue to welcome the good news in your life. Verse 2 says, it is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe in the message I've told you. Unless, of course, you believed in something that was never true in the first place. And there were many that were part of that church that they, even though they were there, they weren't there. They were with the church, but they weren't the church. And they believed in something other than the truth, other than the good news. Well, we can say the same thing even now in 2024. There's some people that's in this room. They in the room, but they ain't in the room. They at church, but they ain't a part of the church. And they believe, even though they've heard the good news, they believe some of the news that was never really preached to them, but they might have heard it outside rather than hearing it on the inside. But it's just, again, just the reality of what we deal with when it comes to church in general. Just because people come inside the church doesn't mean that they're a part of the church. But it's the desire of the leadership. It's the desire of those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, that those that do come in that may not know him, that seeds will be planted or watered, and that they will take a chance to grab hold of this good news and be impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit to become one of God's children. But that's what was happening in this church. Many stood firm, but there were some that did not believe this was the truth in the first place. But what I want to hone in on is the next several verses. And let's look at this next verse together. Verse 3 says, and I pass on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. I want to pause right there, because the very thing that I'm sharing with you now, to the young generation, the very thing that I'm sharing with you is the very thing that was shared with me back in 1984, 85, 86. The very same thing that was shared with me, I'm passing it down to you. The very thing that was passed to a young man who lived in Meta, Georgia, and impacted to be used and called of God, is the very thing that he used to impact the young man from the city of Atlanta, who would then be called to go into Michigan. And the very thing that has been passed on to these men have been passed on to me. And I want to give flowers to whom they are due. And I'm grateful that Pastor McNeil is in this room today. Because the very thing, sir, that you have received, you've passed on. Sister Mac, you've passed on. And we just want you to continue to see the living fruits of it. And we know that there'll be many more as you get into the kingdom of God. I remember years ago when Pastor would always say, Lord, give me 1 million souls. And then, well, you know, I don't preach for a minute. Well, Lord, let's go for 2 million souls. You remember that? Because he wanted to make sure that what was passed on to him, he would pass it on to others. Because what was passed on to him impacted him in such a way that it impacted his very soul. And the very thing that we want you to understand too, I want to keep this to myself. I want to be able to pass it on to you. It's very simple. It's not hard. And not only do I thank God for the McNeils, I thank God for the Smiths, but I also thank God for Dr. Stanley, who took the time to take the word of God and make sure that it was given clearly, irresistibly, simply, because he wanted to make sure that everyone would grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, and those that were in the church would be able to strengthen the local church and be used by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank the Lord for my pastor, for not only my pastor, but I want to thank the Lord for my dad. It was one of the brothers in this church who took the time to plant the seed and to water it. And because he passed on, my dad passed it on to me. I thank the Lord for Pastor Lass, for Pastor Wedges, for Brother Griffin, for Brother Dawson. You know, if I keep going, it's going to take all day. I thank the Lord for a pretty lady, Sister Sandra Smith. All of them, they took the time to pass it on. And what has been passed on to them, I want to pass it on to the young adults that are here. The Lord allowed me to be able to pass it on to them. And now to our teenagers today, my children today, I want to take the time to pass it on to them. And what am I passing on? It's very simple. Nothing hard. Look at the next scripture. Look what the next scripture says. And the next scripture says in this is what I'm passing on, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. See, the first point that I want to give to you today, if you got a pen and paper, you got a pad. I told you, I got 3 points. I'm going to take my seat. The first point that we want to look at is that God said it. God said it. That's the first thing. God said, the reason why I said it, remember, let's go back to the text. Christ died for our sins just as the scripture said. He was buried and he rose from the dead on the third day just as the scriptures said. Now, there are some scriptures that we've come to know when it comes to the word of God. Let's look at those together. It says this in John 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay, now all of you in the discipleship club, look at this memory verse right here. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we realize that all scripture is of God. That's one of the main reasons why I said God said it, because if in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, then guess what? God said it. Just as the scriptures said it. Now, you need to understand something. This, I'm going to share some facts with the kids. And those of you that are adults, maybe you may not know this, and I just want to pass it on to you too. Now, when Paul says the scriptures, he's not saying the Old and the New Testament, because the New Testament wasn't written at that time. Paul is writing a letter. It's not a book. It's a letter to the church of Corinth. Now, when he talks about the scriptures, he's pretty much talking about the equivalent of the Old Testament. Another way of saying that is the Tanakh. And the best to explain it, let me show you, if you can see it on the screen, the Tanakh, which is, again, derived of three sections, the law, the prophets, and the writings. So anytime when you hear Jesus and the other disciples, or you ever heard the term, here lies the law and the prophets, they're pretty much talking about what came from the Tanakh, from the Torah, or from the prophets, or from the writings. As a matter of fact, y'all remember last week, those of you that were here, Philip encountered the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch was looking at a writing from the prophet Isaiah. There it is, the writings. The writings that came from the Tanakh. And it was through the writings of Isaiah that Philip was able to go into it, look in the scriptures, and be able to expound about Jesus from it. But again, he got it from the Tanakh, because again, the New Testament was not written yet. Anytime whenever you hear the scriptures, most of the times when the guys would quote scriptures or say, well, this is what the scripture says, usually they're going to quote from somewhere in the Torah, which would not in times out of 10 be Deuteronomy. They'll quote from somewhere, probably the Psalms, or they'll quote from the prophets. You'll usually hear those things. But anytime when you hear the law, the prophets, just think of the Tanakh. And in our case, we can think of the Old Testament. And so just to give a background of the reason why when Paul said the scriptures, when you think about the death of Christ, you go back to Psalm 22. Y'all remember in Psalm 22, the very first verse says, hey, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who says that? Jesus says that on the cross, which helps us to reflect on, hey, well, then the scriptures must be fulfilled, because here it is. Right here in Psalm 22, and then in Isaiah 53, you know what happens there. I'm just giving you appetizers. You can go back and read it for yourself. But it's there where we find out about the suffering that Jesus will go through, the rejection that he would experience. You know, with Palm Sunday, he goes into Jerusalem and it's triumphant. They have the palm branches. They're screaming, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then a few days later, they're saying, crucify him. We don't want him. We want the criminal. We want the rebel. But again, all this was to fulfill what was written in the script, just as the scriptures said. The burial of Christ. If you go to, matter of fact, let's go there together. Matthew chapter 12. And let's look at 39 and 40 together. And it says, but Jesus replied, only an evil, adulterous generation with the man a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give you is the sign of the prophet. There it is, the writings, the prophet, Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days, 3 nights. He was buried. Again, you don't put a live person in the grave. If you see a live person being put in the grave, you need to call 911 ASAP, because that's a crime. Somebody going to jail. You don't put a live person in the grave. And Jesus wanted you to see here, just as Jonah, because again, the only way that they could understand, they had to go back to the Tanakh. They had to go back to the writings, to the prophetic writings there. And again, it's a good read. You can go back and read Jonah. I think it's about 4 chapters. Man, a good read. You knock out one book of the Bible. See, I'm giving you freebies, man. I'm giving you freebies. You don't have to pay me for nothing. That's one book of the Bible knocked out if you read Jonah. But it says here that Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Why? Because out of disobedience. Jonah should have been going to Nineveh, but Jonah wanted to go on a cruise. And that cruise almost got him and the whole crew killed. And he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And just as Jonah was, Jesus, he was in a borrowed tomb. As a matter of fact, the government, the Pharisees and the Roman government, they got together. They was like, well, the people said that Jesus might get up from the grave. And so the only way that can happen, they got to steal his body. So we need to do something. And so Rome sealed the tomb up and put guards on it. Shifts. Which is a great reminder here, church. Nothing can stop God's plan. Not even the government. Not even the government. So putting it out there. And when has ever the government ever stopped God's plan? Never. Just help us out, you know. As we get close to these elections, because I just don't want people to go crazy again. Just, yeah, I got it. It's cool. Relax. The government put a seal and guards on this tomb. And y'all know what happened. Jesus got up from the grave. Matter of fact, the earth, one account says the earth shook when Jesus got up. An angel sat on top of the tombstone. Again, just to show off God's power. Nothing. He tore the veil. He made a way. And then the resurrection of Christ again goes with Jonah. And also, you can look at Hosea, especially in that second verse. Some translations talk about how that, you know, when the nation of Israel, when they would go through what they went through, and it was because of their disobedience, but y'all know out of their disobedience, they would repent to the Lord, and then the Lord would restore them. And so the prophet says, well, 2 days they will deal with these things, but on the third day they will rise up again, leading to the example of Jesus coming back from the grave. But let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 18 and 19, because I want to be able to show you that God said it, because this is God the Son. He said this. 20, 18, and 19. And just to let you know that God said it, Jesus said it, most of your Bible should have the letters in red, even though that doesn't matter. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is the one that says it. And he says these words. He says, listen. He said, we're going up to Jerusalem, as you know, the triumphal entry, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priest and to the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Jesus is saying this now. Listen. Then they will hand him over to the Romans, which they did, to be mocked and to be flogged with the whip. And he was. And he was crucified. But see, some of y'all don't know when to shout. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. This is Jesus saying it. God said it. That's the reason why we want to focus on the importance of the resurrection, because God said it. Jesus said it. And it came to pass. See, nobody died like Jesus. And I don't want anybody leaving this sermon thinking, well, Toby, you just keep emphasizing the resurrection and you're forgetting about the death. No. Nobody died like Jesus. I don't want you to miss that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, according to Hebrews 9:22. His blood, according to 1 John chapter 1, that washes away all sin. So I'm not discounting the death of Christ. I want you to know that. Jesus died. Nobody died like him. Matter of fact, Peter didn't want to die like Jesus. Peter said, hey, hang me upside down. What Jesus did was too much special for me. And don't even put me in the same category. Can I tell you something? Many people in the world, they see Jesus in several ways. See, they don't mind Jesus. There was a movie that I saw. Will Ferrell played this race car driver, and I don't recommend the movie. But he played this race car character called Ricky Bobby. And Ricky Bobby was with his family, and he was praying to the Lord, so to speak. And he said, dear baby Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. He said, dear baby Jesus. Which means there's some people out in the world, they love baby Jesus. Huh? They love baby Jesus. You know why they love baby Jesus? Because what do we do with baby Jesus? We celebrate Christmas. Because it's baby Jesus, lowly, meek, and mild, joy to the world. The Lord has come. But we ain't really caring about no baby Jesus. You know what me and you want. We want to check our list. Checking it twice. You know why? Because Santa Claus. No. That's, no. It's supposed to be about Jesus, but they don't mind baby Jesus, because when baby Jesus comes, it's Christmas. And when Christmas comes, we get gifts. Not really giving the gift who really deserves the gift is Jesus. Because he came into the world to give us life, peace, grace. But they love baby Jesus. You know, many people, they love a suffering Jesus. I don't know. It's because they love torture, punishment. I don't know. But they love suffering Jesus. That's why you don't mind. Matter of fact, they glorify and fashion suffering Jesus. That's why you'll see a lot of people wearing a dead Jesus on a cross in jewelry with a necklace. Or maybe some, you might see people having an iced out crown of thorns. Or you might see somebody wearing a t-shirt with Jesus suffering with blood coming down his head and having the crown of thorns on his head. Because they love a suffering Jesus. Matter of fact, there are several musical artists that did videos reflecting the suffering of Jesus, because they don't mind a suffering Savior. Even though they don't really care for him suffering for them. They just like the source of looking at the pain. And many people don't mind a dead Jesus. You know? Because they believe that this dead Jesus is a dead and gone Jesus. But I come to tell you, he's not. He's alive. And the reason why he's alive, because Paul said, the very thing that I'm passing on to you, I had to receive it myself first. That Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried, just to let you know, he was showing up dead. But he got up from the grave 3 days later, just as the scriptures had indicated. And this is the reason why, brothers and sisters, we have to depend on the Old Testament. There's no way that we can discard the Old Testament. Because again, the only way that I could give you the scriptures, I had to go back to the Tanakh to let you know. I had to go back to the Old Testament to reflect it, because that's what the scriptures came from. But thank the Lord that God will lay on the hearts of Paul, and lay on the hearts of James and many others, to be able to, where we have the New Testament writings. So God said it. We want you to understand that today, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he rose again. Second point I want to give to you is this, that there are witnesses. That there are witnesses. The reason why I say this to you is, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's look at the next verses here. And it says these words, and it says, and he was seen by Peter and by the 12. And then after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I, Paul, also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is because God poured out his special favor on me. And not without results, for I have worked harder than any other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So that it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. I hope somebody grabbed that today. No matter where you hear the gospel from, the message hopefully will be the same because you should have believed on the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we do have some people out there today that they just will not get a word from anybody else. It's got to be by Bishop so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so. No, the main thing that Paul wants you to let you know, no matter who gives the word, understand the word is from God. And it's the word that you believed on that saved you. That's what we're preaching. That's what we're preaching here. But he was seen. Jesus was seen by, let's go back over it again. He was seen by Peter and the 12. Now, ladies, I need to make sure that you understand. The first people that saw Jesus were women. Just point it out. The only way that Peter and the 12 knew that Jesus was alive, the ladies had to go and tell them. Because they were the one going to go, you know, and fix up Jesus since he had been in the tomb. They wanted to make sure that he was spiced up, nice, smelling good. They went, and when they went and they saw the tomb open, they received a word from an angel who told them, why are you seeking somebody alive in a dead place? He's not here. He's alive. Go and tell the disciples. Go and tell them. And they did. They didn't hold back. Ladies, they didn't hold back. They made sure that somebody got it. And I'm telling you, I don't know many ladies that's going to have an experience like that and not say, look here, child. Come on, girl. Look at what happened. You need to know. Y'all remember the lady who was at the well with Jesus? When she found out that she was with the Messiah, the Bible says she dropped her water pot and she said, come in, child. Come on, honey, girl. Come on. You need to find out about a man who knew everything about me. Because when it's good, you know, when you witness something, you ain't going to keep that good stuff to yourself. And most of us, when we know it's good, what do we say? Shut your mouth, girl. Shut your mouth. No, hush, hush. No, you want them. Give me the juice. Give me more. Give me more of it. Because they're a witness. And that's what Peter and the 12, they saw. Then 500 other people saw. So it lets you know, again, if it had just been a few people, then we don't have to worry about this account. But when you have 12 plus 500, and you know you can add even more on that, and this is all at the same time, the Bible says, and then you have James, who was the brother of Jesus, who didn't believe on Jesus before he died and rose again, but after he was raised from the dead, he would believe, and now that's why we have the book of James, because of that. And then the rest of the apostles, they believed, and then Paul lets us know that he, on that Damascus road, he would turn from Saul to Paul because he had an eyewitness account of Jesus. But, oh, my brothers and sisters, we can't forget about us. You know the old hymn writer who wrote the hymn, He Lives? In that latter part of that chorus, what does he say? You asked me how I know he lives. How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart, because I'm a witness of his resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that those that are in Christ, they're what? They're new creations. All things have passed away, and behold, what? All things have become? Come new. And when you become new, you just can't keep that to yourself. You got to tell somebody, honey, child, come here. You need to find out about this Jesus. So me and you are eyewitnesses. Because again, we can't keep that good stuff to ourselves. Just to give you an example of the good stuff that you can't hold. See, back in 1996, October 17th, my birthday, the Braves would play the St. Louis Cardinals. This was Ozzie Smith's last game. He was the Wizard. All that watched Ozzie knew why he was the Wizard. He was a bad man in the infield. Nobody could play like Ozzie Smith. But I got a chance to see his last game. I might have been up in the nosebleed, but I got a chance to see Ozzie Smith in his last game. And the Braves were going to win. Javi hits two bombs. Javi Lopez hits two bombs. And the Braves would go on to play the Yankees, but they would lose there. But they would go on to play in the World Series. You know, but I, the reason why I can talk about it today is because I was there. I witnessed it. You know, and in the times when the Falcons had Michael Vick, you know, it was a preseason game, Pastor. It was a preseason game. It wasn't a regular season game. It was a preseason game because, you know, Deacon ain't going to no regular season game. It was a preseason game, and Michael Vick was on the field. He jukes left, he jukes right, and then he goes down. And he's still down. Matter of fact, the training team comes out. He's still down. And then they bring out the cart. And you know when they bring out the cart, oh, it's over. You forget it. He tore his MCL, and he was out for the season. And, oh, you couldn't hear a pin drop in the Georgia Dome. I was there. I witnessed it. I can say the same thing about Jesus, man. I was once on my way to hell. I deserve judgment. Do you hear me? I have sinned against Jesus. Sinned against him, but yet he loved me so much that while I was still sinning, Romans 5:8 says that he loved me, that he died for me. And again, I can't keep that good stuff to myself. And I'm hoping that my words just won't be enough for you. I'm hoping that my actions will be enough to let you know that I witnessed them. Y'all remember Thomas? The fellas saw Jesus come into the room, doors locked. Man, they could not keep that to themselves. They said, Thomas, you missed it, bro. You missed it. Boy, Jesus was here. And Thomas was like, hey, you might believe Jesus was here, but I don't believe any word y'all saying. And I ain't going to believe nothing until I touch and have some hard evidence. Until I touch those NASCAR hands and that side, I ain't going to believe. And the next few days later, Jesus would show up. And he would not cut any corners. He had straight for Thomas. Thomas was holding you up. Come, touch me. But he says something that sticks to me to this very day. See, Thomas, you touched me and you believe. But there are going to be people like me and you that we ain't never seen Jesus on the cross. We ain't never seen him in the tomb. But we believe. Why? Because God said it. The scriptures said it. And we believe. And we're witnesses. And we as witnesses, we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to take this. And that's why you've been learning, which is your one? Who's your one? That's why you've been learning, because we can't keep this to ourselves. We need to be witnesses. And you know, sometimes it's hard for the world to see a witness when you're dead. Huh? My pops, I'm going to lie. I'm going to go ahead and put them out on Front Street. But I join in with him. Me and him love watching The Walking Dead. And one thing about The Walking Dead is that, you know something, they zombies. And can I be frank? There's some people in the church. They zombies. They don't act like they're alive. They don't act like they witnessed something. Because they act like they're dead. But guess what? You're supposed to be alive. Because you had an eyewitness. You had a witness account of Jesus changing you in your life. And that's why I always tell the kids, hey, I'm not going to sit here and force Jesus on you. I just hope that my life, and hoping that we give you the scriptures as much as possible so that you can know for yourself that you don't have to worry about teetering the fence. You don't have to. We're not going to hold anything back. Anything that you need to know about God, we want you to know. Because he gave it to us. He didn't cut any corners. And that's the same thing, because again, we witnessed Jesus. And just like Paul, he wants us to do the same. We don't want to be walking dead. We want to be living believers, ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Lastly, last point again, I'm taking my seat. There is hope. There is hope. The reason why I say this, let's look at verses 12 through 19. It says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. Again, I don't have to preach that. That preached itself. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. Yeah, Pastor Ray can stop. Everything Pastor McNeil got on tapes and everything, that can put that up. And your faith is useless. So me talking about this Jesus like I have been talking about it, it's a waste of time because I'm not really saved. But, let me share something with you. I've shared this many times, and I'm going to take this to the grave with me. Without the birth of Christ, there is no death of Christ. Without the death of Christ, there is no resurrection. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no salvation. And without salvation, there is no hope. None. And that's why Paul was saying, hey, if you're preaching that Christ is not raised, then guess what? He's still dead. And you in that category with them folk that believe Jesus is dead and gone. But Jesus isn't dead and gone. And verse 15 says, and we apostles, we all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. You're still in judgment. You are still headed for a destination that is separated from God. In a place called hell. Then you're taken out of hell and you're judged at the great white throne judgment. And then you're cast into a lake of fire that will keep going on and on for all of eternity. And the Bible says that is the second death. So not only do you die physically, but you die eternally. Paul says in 18, if that is the case, all who die believing in Christ are lost. So that means your grandmama and them. Your auntie and them. They dead too. Lost in their sin. Verse 19 says, and if our hope is in Christ only for this life, we are most to be pitied than anyone in the world. Why? Because we preach that here's a God that came down from heaven to earth, died, but then stayed dead. That don't make sense. That makes him to be a liar, and me and you look foolish. We're stupid. But since God has raised Christ from the dead, there's hope. There's hope. Look at what John says in 1 John 2:25. He says, and this is the promise which he himself made to us, and that was this, eternal life. And that was all because of him getting up from the grave. Remember, in the discipleship class, two things that you know that God always intended for humanity was this, abundant life, eternal life. And so we have hope. Why? Because we can live eternally because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. But I want us to grab hold of this today. And I'm speaking to every believer in this room. The reason why there's hope is because your present life is worth living. Your present life is worth living. See, you got to understand, the only way that some people are going to know Jesus is by you living. And if there's anything that I want to say to every being in this room today is you got to live. You have to live. Even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of your trial, you've got to live. Why? Because the resurrection has taken place in your life. And the only way that people are going to see the resurrection is going to be through your life. You've got to live. The songwriter of Because He Lives says, life is worth living. Why? Because Jesus lives. And since he lives, he desires to live in and through you. You have a life worth living. Yeah, you got your heaven. You got your get out of hell free card. Yeah. But there's other people that need their card stamped. And the only way it's going to happen is you got to live in front of them. There's cousins that got to know Jesus, but the only way they're going to know Jesus is through you. No. There's coworkers that need to know Jesus, and the only way they're going to know is through you. Hey, can I tell you something, students? There's some classmates. I'm a living witness to this. There's some classmates that will not know Jesus, but they're knowing Jesus. Why? Because you are living. Dang, I need to say it again. I need to say it one more time. There's some classmates that will never know Jesus, but they're going to know him because you are living. You got to live. You've got to live. And if you don't know how, this is why God is desiring for you to get to know him in a special way so that he can help you to live. Because I can't live without Jesus. Jesus said it this way, without him, you can do absolutely, positively, nothing. You can't do nothing without him. That's why there's hope, because you're living. Each day you get up, there's an opportunity for the gospel to be planted or watered. Each day you get up. But you got to live. That's why if the struggles get hard, who you give it to? You give it to God, because he needs you to live. Got to live. There's a testimony, a story to be shared. But the only way the story is going to be shared, somebody's got to share the story. It could be your story. It could be your story. You know, they could hear Toby's story, you know. It ain't all fashionable. But sometimes there's some people in life that they don't need to hear mine, they need to hear yours. See, some people think, man, the pastor come to my school, or if you come to my job, man, people will know Jesus. No, they seeing Jesus now through you. Are you living? Or are you a zombie? Gotta live. Gotta live. I told you 3 points. I'm sitting my tail down. Why the resurrection? Because God said it. I blame Pastor McNeil. Death of Christ, burial of Christ, resurrection of Christ, all because the scriptures said it. And again, the scriptures that Paul is talking about is the Old Testament. That's why we need to read the Old Testament, Genesis, all the way to Revelation with the New Testament. They're witnesses. Yeah, the disciples, the apostles. Yeah, the 500 and them. James, his brother. And Paul, who was once Saul. But then there's me and you. There's me and you. And the reason why we talk about the resurrection, why we enjoy celebrating Easter, is because there's hope. Because a God that told us that he was going to get up, he got up from the grave just as he said he was going to do. And that doesn't end, because Brother Dora, who always would say, hey, don't forget, not only did he raise from the dead, but he's coming back again. He's coming back. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but he's coming back again. That's what leads me to this last point. That's why I wanted to share this with you as well. You know, we got a legal drug dealer in the house. He's retired now. He's retired. Legal drug dealer. He's retired. Some call them pharmacists. but you go to the pharmacist because the doctor prescribes it, and then the pharmacist will give you the prescription that you need because they know all the measurements, everything that you need. They know the exact dosage. They know what you need. You know, they legal drug dealers. And you got some people out there that's actually doing illegal stuff and tearing folks' lives up. But you and me, we got hope. So God desires for us to be hope dealers. Would you desire to be a hope dealer today? See, there are people giving out hate. They're dealing out fear. But man, you have an awesome opportunity to deal hope every day. Not just with our words, but also with the way that we live. Now, my prayer is that's what you will do as we move forward going into next week. Christ Connection, which we've learned through our Sunday school classroom. I always learn this from with the kids. And this is what I want to leave with you. You can't see it. I'll just read it aloud. Christ lived, suffered, died, and rose again so that those who are lost could be saved. You and I should strive to live our lives in such a way that the lost will be drawn to Christ and come to know him as their Lord and Savior. Why do we talk about this resurrection? Why are we emphasizing it daily? Because it will make a dynamic impact into the life of a person, not just presently, but eternally. And for those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, on this present side, make your life worth living because you have hope. Deal hope. Not hate, not fear. Deal hope. Deal love. Deal peace. Deal mercy. Deal grace. Why? Because it was given to you freely by a loving God. Amen? Those of you that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, man, that's all we're trying to stress to you, man. There's hope. You don't have to live in your sin. Jesus came. He died for it. He rose again so that you can have an eternal destiny with the Father. And we don't want you to leave here today without knowing for sure that your ticket is stamped, that you're going to be with Jesus for all of eternity. And we want to make sure that you know that today. So we encourage you, please know Jesus today. Tomorrow's not promised. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we indeed love you and thank you for the opportunity of spending time in the Word together. Lord, thank you for coming, dying, coming back to life again so that we can have life eternal. And God, right now we ask that you would just bless our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that they would indeed be hope dealers, that they would be witnesses for you because they witnessed what you've done personally in their life. And for those that don't know you, Lord, we do ask, Lord, that you would help them to come to know you personally today.